Bibles turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Brother Joe, I have this on if you want me to use it. Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going, in just a moment, we're going to stand for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to read three verses, and in a moment we'll read it together. But you know, very familiar passage here, and I seem to have fled to it a few different times this last week, especially not being in the form and the strength that I normally like to run in. But I had to be reminded of some things this particular week. And very familiar passage to us. Let me just stop and say this and preface my message by saying this. We're all in a race. And God has a specific race that He wants you to run. Now, I know you've heard me say it many, many times. You'll hear other preachers say it many, many times that we are in a race. And God has called you to a specific race to run. You know, I can't run your race. Your preacher cannot run your race. A Sunday school teacher cannot run your race. A deacon cannot run your race. But you have to run the race that God has gone ahead and given you to run. I have to run the race that God has given me to run as a pastor, as a husband, as a father, as a leader, and other things like that. As a son, you know, God has given me a race that I must go ahead and run. And I must do it to the best of my ability with the strength that He gives me. You know, all power comes from God, amen? He gives us a strength that we need to go ahead and run our race. So there's no excuse for us not to run our race. But, you know, oftentimes I see Christians, and I feel bad for them. I see Christians that, man, they used to run their race strong, but along the way they picked up some things that has weighted them down that keeps them from running effectively. Or they'll go ahead and pick up a sin that will keep them from running their race at all. They just quit and they're done. So I want to help you this morning in this area of running our race. The title of my message is Excess Baggage, but let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. I stand for the reading of the Word of God. We will read, since it's a very familiar passage, and we'll read, normally we do read responsively, but we'll read all three verses together of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds. Our Heavenly Father God, again, I pray, God, you give me strength. I pray you'd help me speak clearly today. Give me the strength in my voice that I need. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you just encourage hearts, Lord. I pray, God, that we would look at our race this morning. Look at where we are. How are we running for you? What is hindering, perhaps, the race that you've given us to run? Maybe there's some sin. Maybe there's some things that we've picked up that's hindering us from running at all. And I pray, dear God, Holy Spirit, that we will be open to the preaching of your word. I pray, Holy Spirit, your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you've ever taken a trip, I think the hardest part of taking a trip sometimes, you know, just a few weeks ago or a couple months ago, my wife and I took a trip to Florida, and we got to fly. I love flying, amen? I love, you know, driving, that's fine. I don't mind driving short distances, but I tell you, I just love getting in an airplane. Within a couple hours, I'm at my destination, amen? But, you know, but I think the worst part of planning a vacation is packing. You know, you're going to forget something. Always happens. Come on now. You know what I'm talking about. You always forget something. And then, you know, and nowadays with all the regulations and limitations as far as what you can take and they can't take and different things and so forth. But you know, you go through your closet and you know how you ladies are. I got to have this outfit for this. I got to have that. I got to have that. But in your mind, you're saying, okay, I'm not going to pay for my luggage. I know that certain airlines, you only pay for, you know, you can normally take one piece of luggage on for free. Certain airlines, I think they're changing all kinds of things. But, you know, I got to keep everything within one and then my carry-on. And, you know, you're thinking and so forth, but I got to have this, I got to have that. And then before you know it, your suitcase like this, and, you know, you're trying to, you know how it is. You're stomping on it. You're doing everything you can to zip it up or whatever the case may be. But you realize, oh, well, I guess I got to pay for that extra piece of luggage. I got to get number two. And before you know it, you've got two or three bags of luggage that you hadn't planned for. And then you've got your carry-on. Yeah, I've seen people, you know, you ever see people, a couple of these, and they carry on, they're kind of just weighted down, they're going down the airport. I've been there, amen? You know, they're just kind of wandering around because they're trying to keep, you know, and it's kind of hard. You gotta keep both suitcases, you know, in line with each other. You're like this, and you're kind of like an airplane in the airport, you know what I mean? But you're like this. Rolling them down. You got maybe your, if you're a lady, you got your purse, and then you got your carry-on like this, whatever, but you're weighted down. You know what? And you may stumble a little bit. You know, and why? Because you've got excess baggage. You've got more than you planned on taking. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us there are two things that keep us from running our race effectively. The first thing, in verse number 1, this is our main verse, but the first thing is waste. Let me just read here. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Them greater cloud of witnesses are those that went on before. You read Hebrews chapter 11, the great faith chapter. You look at all those people, you know, Abraham and Isaac and all those that went on before. You know, I picture heaven. You know, I believe, and I believe this, maybe some don't, but I believe that there's a greater cloud of witnesses, as Scripture says, and they're cheering me on. You know, I got good friends of mine, preacher friends that have passed on before me that influenced my life. I got good friends, godly friends that I've had, relatives that influenced my life. And man, it just is, there's joy in knowing that they're up there saying, keep on going, Sean. You keep on running that race. You keep on doing what you're supposed to do for God. But you don't. But you got them, the greater cloud of witnesses. But let us lay, then there's a, then listen here. Let us lay aside every weight. That weight, okay, weight of these things that are not necessarily bad, but they keep us from service for the Lord. They keep us from giving God all that we have. They keep us from running a strong, effective race for our Lord. The weight slows us down, therefore making a difference in running an effective race. You might still be, you know, you've got weight. You might still be going forward, but you know what? You're not really prepared. You know, you didn't really prepare for this race. You've got excess baggage, if you will, of these weights. They're not necessarily bad, but they kind of get in the way of you serving God. They may get in the way of your Bible reading. They may get in the way of the very things that you need to go ahead and run your race effectively. That's what the weight is. Again, not sinful, but it becomes sin simply because we allow it to get in the way of what we're supposed to do for God. And therefore, we don't run in an effective race. Then the Bible says, and also in that same verse, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. That's sin in general. Okay, them besetting sins, those things that's sin. That's sin in general. It is what we know. It is what we know not to do, but we do it anyway. That's what sin is. We know that it's wrong. We know that it's going to keep us from running our race. It is the very thing that stopped you from running your race for God. It's that very thing. I'm not talking about a weight now. Weight just slows you down. Okay, weight just, you know, you're kind of just going, but you know, and you're not getting where you ought to be as quick as you should or as effectively as you should, simply because you got some weight that's got in the way. Not bad things. It could be sports. It could be all kinds of things that just gets in the way. That's a weight. But some don't run at all simply because they're saved, but they don't run at all because they've got some sin in their life. They know that it's wrong, but they negotiate their sin with God. God, I'll give you this. No, listen, God wants everything. He wants your life. You know, and by the way, you know what? There's more freedom in you giving God your life than you just keeping it for yourself. Let me just say that again. There's more freedom in your Christian life by you giving your life to God than you just kind of hoarding, say, you know what, God, I'll do this, but not this, or this, or whatever. Quit negotiating with God. If you've got sin in your life and the Holy Spirit's shining a light on it, you need to go ahead and take care of that. Because you know what, let me tell you something. You are not running your race at all. You know, that sin or whatever it is, that's keeping you from running that race. You maybe have some weights. If you got weights, you might need to consider, you know, them weights and see what it is that's slowing you down, that's keeping you from that effective race, running effectively. But you know what? There might be some Christians here, some of God's people here this morning. You've got some sin in your life, and you know what? You're really just kind of there. You're not going anywhere. You may be just kind of spinning your wheels, if you will. You might be kind of stuck, if you will. You know, there are those who get saved and they grow, as the Bible teaches. The Bible says, grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But at the same time, there are those who get saved but don't go anywhere, oftentimes because of the besetting sins in their life that's keeping them from running the race that God wants you to run. You know, listen, God has the race that he wants for you, not me. I am here as kind of that cheerleader that says, keep on running, man. That's what the preacher is.
That's what the preacher, you know, and instruct you how to run your race and so forth. But it's between you and God whether you run or not. It's not between you and me. Though you can come to my office and say, preacher, man, I got this hindrance, I got that hindrance, I got this. Would you pray with me about it? Sure, I'm going to pray with you about it. I'm going to instruct you on how to go ahead and maybe do away with some of them hindrances or reschedule some of your time or whatever the case may be. But the truth of the matter is your race is between you and God, not between you and me. Again, I'll help you. Again, I'm going to instruct you. Again, I'm going to go ahead and preach truth and preach firm and tell you, keep on running. I'm going to be like, you know, like one of them witnesses say, hey, keep on going. Keep on serving. Keep on teaching. Keep on soul winning. Keep on reading your Bible. Keep on doing the right things. But your race ultimately is between you and God. But there are those that won't run simply because they're not running simply because of begetting sin. There are some that is just weighted down with things here and there that really won't matter 5 minutes after. I'm just things that are keeping you from being a productive Christian, if you will. By the way, it ought not be so. Again, God wants all of us. We limit all that God wants to do with us by telling God what we can have and not have. You know, God's got a whole bunch of blessings for you. But we limit all those, you know, many blessings simply because we limit God. We negotiate, if you will, God. And we shouldn't be doing that. You know, the Bible says that we are God's child and that our body is his temple. May I remind you what the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, the Bible says. God says this. You're not your own. Now, verse number 20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. That's the reason why we're here, is to go ahead and glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are yours. Oh, God's. Your body belongs to God. You belong to God. You've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And therefore, God has given you a race to run. And again, that race is not between you and me. That's between you and God. Again, I'll cheer you on. I'll help you. I'll instruct you. But somewhere along the way, you've got to go ahead and put aside some besetting sins that's keeping you from running. And you've got to go ahead and lay aside perhaps some weights that's keeping you from running effectively. Weights and besetting sins. You go to an airline, like I said, one takes a flight and you're allowed only so many pieces of luggage. Back to my illustration here. One piece, I think, if you fly with Southwest, okay, a little plug-in for Southwest. I don't know if that's what you do. But, you know, you're allowed only so much, and then if you go over that limit, you pay more. Anything over that limit costs extra. You'll be charged. Excess baggage costs you. You parallel that with our Christian life, your excess baggage that you would pay for on a trip to go somewhere, to the excess baggage that we as Christians pay for. By the way, let me just say this, it's not worth it. That excess baggage, and I'm talking to Christians primarily this morning, you that are saved and on your way to heaven, you know, let me just say this, if you've got some excess baggage this morning of the world and sin or weights or whatever the case may be, let me tell you something, at the end of the day, it's not worth it. Let me just warn you, you know what, you look back and say, man, I wish I had listened. I wish I had gone ahead and said, you know, I knew better, but I wish I'd set aside some things that are keeping me from running my race, and I could have run it so much more. In fact, let me tell you something. Every knee's got to bow and every tongue's going to confess. It doesn't matter who we are. Every single one of us, saved and unsaved, are going to face God one day. You know what? And I'm talking to Christians this morning. Let me just say this, Christians. Every single one of us is going to go ahead, and we're going to face the Lord one day for what we did here on earth. You know what? And let me tell you something. If not this side of heaven, that side of heaven, you're going to realize, say, man, what did I do? I could have. You know, I heard it preached. I know what was right, but I kind of got sidetracked with this. I enjoyed these weights or got sidetracked with that sin and whatever. And you never did everything that you could for God. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to motivate us to do all that we can for God's cause. Let's do everything we can. You know, as if humans not big enough baggage, amen? Being a human, that's baggage in and of itself. But Christians, sometimes we choose to exceed the allowable number of bags while we're traveling or running the race in this life. And for some reason, we accumulate excess and overweight baggage in many areas of our lives. So this morning, I'm just going to give you three quick areas. Number one, some are going bearing baggage of the past. You've got some excess baggage of the past. The Bible says, Paul writes in Philippians 3:13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Then he writes under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You know, Paul, it's fair to say he had baggage of the past. Before he was trodden down the old Damascus road to go persecute more Christians, let me tell you something. Before he got saved, he had some baggage. You know what? What was the baggage? Well, he hated Christianity. He persecuted Christians. He scourged Christians. It's fair to say that he had some serious baggage. He had a past. And if he went ahead and he dwelled on that past, it would limit him on what God wanted to do with him. So often I see Christians, they'll go ahead, they'll look back at their past and say, I can't be used because, preacher, let me explain what I did back then. You know what? It's under the blood, amen? Listen to me, it's under the blood. You know, maybe there's some things that you did that would cancel other things that you could do for the Lord that happened in the past. But let me tell you something. But you know what? If you sit in the past, you know, it's time to go ahead and bring it to the altar. Stop dwelling on it and just bring it to the altar. Get it under the blood. Get back up. Brush yourself off and go do what you can do for God. You know, God has a race for you to run. Maybe you can't run everything that you could have had you not got mixed up back here. But let me tell you something. Stop dwelling on the past. Stop looking at the sins of the past. Get it under the blood of Jesus Christ. It's already taken care of. Get back up and start running again that race that he's called you to run. Paul had a past. You know, some, you're limiting what God wants to do with you simply because you're looking back there and saying, you know what, God can't use me to do this because of. You know what? The only one that's telling you that is the devil. And you're listening to the devil. You know, in other words, you're saying, you know what? God doesn't want to use me. I'm saved, so I'll just be satisfied just sitting back, just doing the best, doing what I can, maybe just coming to church and listening to preaching. Go, that's good. Okay? I read my Bible, but you know what? I don't think there's much more that I can do. Yes, there is, my friend. Yes, there is. Maybe you can't pastor. Maybe there's certain things you can't do, but let me tell you something. If it's under the blood, you know what? God wants to take you right where you are and do something magnificent with you. He says, you know what? You can go lead a soul to Christ. There's not much that would cancel a person from maybe teaching a Sunday school class. There's, you know, you could perhaps drive a bus. You could perhaps go soul winning on Saturday. You could maybe be a helper. You could maybe clean the church. Hey, you could be a good husband. You could be a good father. You could be a good wife. You could be a good caretaker. You could be, you know what, God still has something for you. But so often, we won't go ahead and run effectively. We won't go very far simply because we look back at the past, say, you know, I don't think God wants to use me because of. Listen, get it under the blood. Get up and get running. Get running for God. Get doing something for God. Let me tell you something. Sometimes, you know, don't have a pity party over your past. Okay, you look back and say, be a preacher, can I just explain? You know, listen, I've heard stories. I've heard people, man, preacher, can I just tell you, you know, what God brought me out of? And they just do it more on the fact that, man, I'm glad I'm out of that. Praise the Lord. But they'll tell me, and, you know, I've heard, man, whew, yeah. Yeah. I know a preacher who's very dynamic, you know, boy, before he got saved, boy, what a wicked life he lived. His name's Dean Miller. If you ever heard his testimony, it's an amazing testimony. You might be able to get it online, but what an amazing testimony before he got saved. I mean, God literally had to reach down deep in this preacher's life and lift him out of the miry clay. I mean, there was a lot of muck and mire in his life. God used him in so many ways, you know, and after he got saved and different things, he went to Bible college and of course, he's married and he started church and built a church, very, very good-sized church, if you will, and I think Colorado Springs, Colorado. And, you know, God just used me. And, you know, and I get stories over and over, but you know what? But I think of that particular man, you know what? When you hear his testimony, what muck and mire he was in. You know, listen to me. Stop having a pity party, but, well, you know, God can't use it. Yes, he can. You know, so often we won't be you. We'll use our past as an excuse not to do anything for God. You know, it's become baggage to you. It's become a weight. It is keeping you from running your race effectively. And I want to encourage you. You know what? Paul went ahead and, you know, he knew if he dwelled on his past, he couldn't be all that he could be for God. So he had to go ahead and get the past under the blood, and he had to go ahead and run the race. He says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. He says, I can't do much. Paul says, I can't do much about here. Before the old Damascus Road, I can't do much about all this junk. Every single one of us, if we could turn the clock back, we'd want to change something. I know I would. If we could go ahead and turn the clock back to maybe when we were 10 years old or whatever, you know what? There's things that, you know, I'd like to erase that. Not going to happen. There's nothing you can do about it. But get on your knees. You know, get saved, get on your knees, put it all under the blood. And from the time that you get saved forward, run your race. You know, sometimes, let me say this, and I don't think it's good to dwell on the past, but sometimes you can use your past to help other people. I mean, again, don't glorify it. Yeah, you know, look at what I did. You know, I used to do this. No, some will go ahead and put that glory into it. Like, really? I mean, come on. But, you know, I like it when others will go ahead and take and maybe explain their past like Brother Miller did to try to help somebody else. You know, maybe you could use your past to help someone else run their race. Maybe you could use your past and tell them that you don't want to go down that road because. It'll limit everything that God has for you, and it'll limit some things God has for you if you go that way. And boy, you know, it's so much better if you just decide to stay clean, pure, just walk with God, live right, do right, right on through until the very day you get to your casket. You know, we could teach the younger generation about our past, if you will, and how they shouldn't go that way. But Paul said, forgetting the things which are behind, reaching forth, he understood that Jesus, he paid for all sin, and there's nothing he can do about the past. You know, your past is just that. It's your past. It's your past. You know, again, not everyone has a great past, but you know what? If you're saved, get it under the blood, and let's move on. You know, stop sitting there and say, well, you know, no. Get it under the blood of Jesus Christ. Get your heart right. Get up, brush yourself off, and run. Run your race. Leave your sins of the past at the altar. If not careful, we'll let our past mistakes, of course, keep us going forward for God. You know, again, I remind you, Paul, he hated Christians, but yet he got saved. God used him. Do you remember Moses? He murdered a man. But God used him to go ahead and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. David committed adultery and killed a man. God still used him to be king. Boy, the list could go on and on. Don't let the past excuse you from doing what you're supposed to do right now, that serve God. You know, God, listen. God has removed our sins from us. You won't run, but if you go ahead, look at your sin, how God looks at it now, once you get saved. The Bible teaches that God has removed our sins from us. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. We hear the old song, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea, in my heart's a song. You know, praise God, my sins are gone, as the old little child's chorus goes, gone, 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 gone. You know, they're as far as the east is from the west. God has removed our sins from us. God has forgotten our sins altogether. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 8:12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And let me just read that again. You know, God has forgotten our sins again. The moment that you get saved, it's placed under the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and it's called justification, just as if I'd never sinned, if you will. God has gone ahead and he doesn't remember your sin. So why are you remembering it? Why are you dwelling on the past? God says, I don't remember them anymore. It's been covered by the blood. I will be merciful unto their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. God has buried our sins in the depths of the sea. The Bible says in Micah 7:19, he will turn again and will have compassion upon us. He will subdue or tread down, if you will. He will subdue all our iniquities and thou wilt cast all their sins in the depths of the sea. God's forgotten about your past. Now, you know what? You need to, too. Stop allowing excess baggage of the past keep you from doing what you're supposed to do right now. Quit letting it be an excuse. You know, others need you to run and run well. One reason why I want to do everything I can to keep running my race. Because I know others count on me. And let me tell you something, not just because I'm pastor, others count on you too. You know, eyes are watching you. You know, it might be a neighbor watching you and seeing how you run. You know you go to church. They know you carry your King James Bible. And they see it. They see perhaps your appearance that you are a Christian. And you know, let me tell you something. Your testimony speaks sometimes louder than words. I'm talking about your outward appearance, your outward testimony. And you know what? Others need you to run your race well. Others need to know that your God is big enough to go ahead and handle anything that you go through and when the trials come. Others need to see that when the trials come, you don't just throw in the towel and say, I'm done. Now, others need you to run your race and run it well. Could be that neighbor that needs you to run your race and run it well. Could be that you know what? I've had people say in this, in not so many words, that my testimony encourages them. You know, and that's encouraging to me at times. Say, okay, I'm glad that at that moment, I was running my race because evidently it encouraged them. But others need to know that you're running your race. You know, your children need you to run a strong race. Amen. Your teenagers need you to run a strong race. Amen. You know, when you think of us reaching another generation for the cause of Christ, and if we don't reach another generation for the cause of Christ, we're done. Amen. We need to be reaching another generation for the cross. We need to be reaching a generation of souls and reaching our young people and so forth, those that are coming after so that they can carry on the torch and that they could be pastoring a church like this 20 years down the road and keeping it going on for God so that they could be winning this world to Christ. We need to be reaching that generation who's going to do what we're doing right now 30 years from now. We need to be reaching that generation. And you know, your children that God has given you, that as God is born into your home and so forth, you need to go ahead and you need to run that race well for your child, for your daughter, for your son. You know, they need you to go ahead and get up and go to church. They need you to be reading your Bible. You know, it's good for your children to stumble across you reading the Bible, amen? You know, and you know what, let me tell you something. You know one thing that will bring security to your kids? Is if maybe you're alone in your den or whatever. You got the Bible open, they maybe just came in, sorry, Dad. They see you there reading your Bible. Not for show, don't misunderstand me. You know what will bring security to your kids? I'm talking about the kids that God has given you. Because they ought to see Mama and Daddy every so often crack the Bible open reading it. You know what will go ahead and tell their mind? My mom and dad loves God. They're doing everything they can to run their race well. That'll tell them that. You know what? Your kids need you to go ahead and run well. The people at work, they need you to run a strong race. You know, some aren't running your race effectively or not at all simply because you're carrying excess baggage of the past. It's weighing you down. Some are not just carrying excess baggage of the past, but some are bearing excess baggage of right now, the present. Talk about the heartaches, the disappointments. The fear. Talked to somebody the other day, the uncertainty of, you know, with the Boston bombing, and of course it's a big thing, and it's a tragic thing, and so forth. And then you the economy, and this and that, and, you know, our leadership doing things right, whatever the case may be, and we'll go ahead and worry about all this stuff and look at all that. Let me just stop and say this, God's in control, amen. But you know what, but right now, there might be some that walk through the doors of this church, and, you know, you walked in with a very heavy heart. Brother Robles, you know, very, very eloquently spoke it in Sunday school hour this morning to the adults that, you know, you could be bearing the pain of losing a child or bearing the pain of a bad doctor's report or bearing the pain of whatever. And you might have walked into the service this morning just with a very, very heavy heart of now. Could have been just as you were walking in, something you got a call that just caused you to be distraught. Could be finding. It could be other things. It could be maybe, you know, and that's the type of stuff that's waiting you. Lay aside the weight. Cast all your care upon him, the Bible says. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. You know, it could be the disappointments of now. It could be the heartaches of now. It could be your child disappointed you. It could be whatever the case may be. It could be you got that pink slip in your mailbox at work and you're done your job. And you say, now what? You know what? Run to God. Cast all your care upon him. He careth for you. Could be you're dealing with that kind of weight. Could be you're dealing with sin of the present right now. You know the things. You know the thing. You know, we understand. We read it just a moment ago that your body is a temple. You belong to God, but you're dealing with some things. Maybe some addiction. Maybe the bottle. Maybe some drug. Or whatever the case may be. And you're dealing with it right now. And you say, preacher, I know that it's hindering me from running the race that God wants me to run. I know I'm not running it effectively. And I know that it's sin. I'm not even running at all. You know, it could be, you know, and let me tell you something, as you know, God will give you the strength and the power to overcome that addiction if you let him. You got to give it to him. You okay? And let me just say this. You know, I used to work with the Reformers Union, it was the Christian Addictions Ministry and so forth. I had a particular person in my class there that was addicted. I mean, smoking was just... She just had a, and she got saved from my bus route, and a beautiful family, if you will. When I first picked up their kids, Cody and Chantel, first picked up their kids on my bus and so forth when I started the new bus route. Then mom started coming to church, and then dad started coming to church, riding the bus. They could have driven at this time. They rode the bus. They became workers on my bus. But she was dealing with this, man, nagging sin of this addiction of smoking. And it bothered her. The more that she heard the preaching, she says, man, preacher, man, I try so hard. She got into the Reformers Unanimous Addictions class and so forth. And, you know, it was amazing to see what God was doing. She was memorizing scripture. There's a curriculum that went with it. And we were counseling her and different things like that. And, you know, it was amazing that you know, as time went on, she'd go ahead and she'd go about a week, not have a cigarette. That's victory, by the way. Those that's ever smoked and so forth, you know that's victory. You try to quit and so forth, you know that's victory. Because it grabs a hold of you. And Brian, yeah, I was thinking of you when I prepared this message. You know, 4 years. I remember when I first came, you were talking about, man, I'm giving it up. And, you know, right there's proof of a man that overcame it. But, you know, this lady Trudy and so forth, you know, she went a week and then, you know, the urge struck her. Picked it up, and she'd come in Friday night to read, oh, preacher, and you know what, and it's a good thing she felt bad about it. I said, you know what, okay, you fell off the wagon, let's pick ourselves back up, let's go do it again. You know, over time, you starve that, you know, part of it is you got to starve that appetite for wrong, if you will, and put in the right things. Over time, you'll overcome it. About a year down the road, Trudy, you know what, went ahead and overcame it. I mean, she broke free of that addiction, that thing that so bound her. You know what? And you know, it might be that you've got some excess baggage of now. You've got some excess baggage, or you know, of some sin, and it's making you feel guilty, and you need to go ahead and give it to God. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:22 that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. As a Christian, we still have the old man living inside us. And unfortunately, the old nature did not die when we got saved. It's very much alive, isn't it? You know, the old nature, the old flesh says, you know, come on, go, do this. The Apostle Paul taught us what it takes to overcome that daily. The Bible says, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 5:31, I die daily. If you're going to overcome the excess baggage of now, every single day you've got to get up and die to the flesh. You got to submit yourself to God, and you need to go ahead and kill, if you will, and die to the flesh. Why is it that we have a hard time maybe with our Bible reading? It's the flesh. Why is it that we have a hard time with doing right or living clean and pure and honest? It's because it's the flesh. Why is it we have a hard time keeping a clean heart and mind so that our life may exalt Christ? It's the flesh that causes you to go ahead and think them dirty thoughts and say those things and hang around that kind of crowd, if you will. Why? Because it's the flesh. And Paul says, if you're going to go ahead and overcome the flesh, you've got to go ahead and die daily. Die daily. Paul also writes in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, for I know that in me, that means in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. You know, Christians, you know, we could actually be more like Jesus if we would die to the flesh and not be so much like the world. And by the way, we're supposed to be more Christ-like. You know what? Today, you ought to be closer to Christ and being more like Christ than you were yesterday. That's called spiritual growth. Bible teaches spiritual growth. And you know what? You ought to be more like Christ today than you were yesterday. You ought to be more like Christ today than you were a month ago or even last year. But you know what? So often, you know what? We could be more like him if we would just die to the flesh and not be so much like the world and be spirit-filled. Allow the Holy Spirit to control us, as the Bible teaches in Ephesians 5. Christians have fallen in love with the world and what it offers so much that the world has become excess baggage, and this baggage will cost you more than you want to pay. Picked up some baggage of the past. You're bearing some baggage of the present. Let me just warn you, you know what? At the end of the day, it's going to cost you more than you want to pay. We know the old song, sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you there longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you far more than you want to pay. Why is it that you're not running your race? Is it because you're looking at the past, that you know what? You know, you're dwelling on the past. You know, it's time to go ahead and lay it at the altar and move on. Maybe you're dwelling on the hurts of now, the present, or maybe some sins of now. And you know what? It's time to go ahead and get up and bring it to the altar and just run that race daily for the Lord and die to the flesh. We bear baggage of the present. We bear the baggage of the present. We see it, we want it, and in the long run, we pay dearly for it. You're bearing that baggage right now, and in the long run, listen to me, if you don't go ahead and drop it off, lay it at the altar, it's going to cost you some big dividends. We must be careful with how the devil will trick us into things that will weigh us down and get us off track from God. Be careful of worldly desires. Don't fall in love with worldly things. You know what? You can't take it with you. You know, the Bible says in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, but the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It will cost you more than you want to pay. Just as the airlines allows you only so much baggage, and then if you go over, you pay for it. In this world that we are supposed to be running the race that God wants us to run, we have a tendency to pick up some baggage that will cost us more than we ever thought we'd pay for. It's slowing you down. It's getting you off track. It's getting your eyes off of Jesus, the focal point of your life. The Bible says, and may I read in verse, looking unto Jesus. As you run this race, you know, the focal point ought to be Jesus Christ. You know, if you keep your eyes square on Jesus, you know what? And stop looking at all the detours and stop looking at all the excess and stop looking at what the devil will try to entice you to do. You've got to go ahead and look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You need to keep running that race. And the way that you're going to go ahead and finish well is you got to look unto Jesus Christ each and every day. The devil will say, you know, stop your ears, keep looking to Jesus. You know, some friends, so-called friends, come, oh, come, try this, do this, or whatever. You know, no, hey, let me tell you something. It'll cost you a lot. You go and you listen to that garbage. You listen to the world. Hey, I'm advising you today, look unto Jesus. You keep looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And then, what is the answer to putting away that extra baggage of the past and present? Well, the Bible says in Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's the answer right there. You walk in the Holy Spirit. You allow the Spirit to fill you and control you. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:18. You need to walk in the Spirit. When you walk arm in arm, so to speak, with the Spirit, you allow him to lead you and guide you. You'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Some are bearing the baggage of the past. Some are bearing the baggage of now, the present. Some are also bearing the baggage of the future. Let me just read a passage of scripture real quick. The Bible says in Matthew, I'll just read a couple verses here. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Let me just go ahead and let me just read on through a few more verses. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, so he shall not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith. Verse number 31, Therefore, take no thought, saying, what we shall eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse number 34 kind of ends the way we started in verse number 25. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Some are bearing that excess baggage of the future. There are Christians, maybe you're here today, that you worry about everything. You read that, you know, and when I read them several verses there, you know, I think of two words: don't worry. Don't worry. You know, Bible, God says, take no thought what ye shall eat. Take no thought what ye shall drink. Take no thought for what ye shall wear. You know, he knows what things you need. You know, and he says, you know, in essence, he says, don't worry about it. Take no thought. Don't worry about it. There's many that they worry, and they're carrying this extra baggage of worry. They're carrying that extra baggage of what's going to happen tomorrow. What's going to happen next month? Are terrorists going to attack next year? I don't know. But you know what? I know what's going on right this very moment, and I need to live for now. I need to go ahead and trust the Lord now. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, we worry about how are we going to pay next month's rent? How are we going to pay next month's mortgage? What if I get that bad doctor's report? What if my disease comes back? What if I lose my job? What if I die? What if I die? You know what? And I don't know where I'm going. You know, you can solve that today, man. You can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. You don't have, you know, Christian, that's one thing you should not be worried about today. What if I die? You know what? If you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. Amen. You worry, but some worry about this and some, what if? What if? What if? What if? What if? What if my dog dies? Great. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you're a dog lover. But what if this happens? What if? And we worry about things tomorrow. The best way to not be worried tomorrow is be prepared today. We sing the song again, why worry? When you can pray, trust Jesus, he'll be your savior. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Rest fully on his promise. Why worry when you can pray? You know, worry is a lack of faith, shows our lack of faith. Worry shows our lack of a prayer life. You know, why worry? Christians who worry about everything tomorrow find it very difficult to be the kind of Christians they ought to be right now. Why? You know what? You can't do well right now, presently, simply because you're already, I mean, I don't know if this is you, but you're already thinking about, man, that bill is due tomorrow. Okay? It's due tomorrow. Let me ask you a question. Have you brought it to God? You know, it's due tomorrow. I don't have the money to pay for it. But let me ask you, this is sometimes more truth than not. Have you brought that bill to God? God, you know, I need to go ahead and pay my bills, and it's due tomorrow, and I'm going to be $20 short, God help me, or I don't have anything for it, God help me. We're already worried about tomorrow. The truth of the matter is it becomes baggage to you because you're not running your race effectively right now. You know, we ought to be the happiest people around, amen? God's people. We're saved, we're on our way to heaven, nothing can change that. Think about that. That's one thing in your life that cannot change. If you're saved, you have heaven forever. That doesn't change. You know, oftentimes, you know, of course, you all know my wife had breast cancer. She's 6 years cancer-free, praise the Lord. But, you know, oftentimes, if I allow my mind to wander, I'll think, is it going to come back? I got to be careful of them kind of thoughts. I can't worry about that. I've got to go ahead and, you know, and oftentimes, let me tell you something. When I start fretting about stuff like that, you know what I do? Listen to me. I go to the book. You know, that'll help go ahead and wash them thoughts away and get me focused on what I should be focusing on. There are some things that we can't do much about, but just pray. Just give it to the Lord. The Bible says in Psalms 37:1, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. God says, don't worry about it. Psalms 37:7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him that who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Jesus said, take no thought, saying, what shall ye eat? What shall ye drink? What are you going to wear? Don't worry about it. God will take care of it. We know the old song, God will take care of you. But Christian, let me ask you, do you really believe that? Listen, if you really believe God is going to take care of you, then listen to me. Why do we spend so much time worrying about tomorrow? You know, God's got the whole world in his hands. He does. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows what's going to happen next week, next year, 10 years. You know, there's joy in knowing that, you know what? He knows when he's going to send his son Jesus to come back for us. You know, we'd like it to be now. Even so, come Lord Jesus, come now! You know what? One day he's going to be coming. He knows about your thoughts. He knows every single detail of your life. Let me ask you a question. What baggage are you carrying that's wearing you out? I know Christians. You know what's unfortunate? I said this time and time again. Looking around this body here this morning, there's going to be somebody that won't be here a year from now. 9 times out of 10, believe it or not. Some may think, well, it's because of this or this or this. You know, 9 times out of 10, believe it or not, because they got discouraged. Discouragement got them to a point where they worried or whatever, and they quit. They got wore out, so to speak. They were running their race, and it just felt like, maybe whatever, and God, are you there, and whatever. And you know, and they started worrying and dwelling on now or dwelling on yesterday or dwelling on tomorrow, whatever the case may be. And it just wore them out. Christian, listen to me. I love you, and I don't want that to happen to any single one of you here this morning. I ask you, what is it that's wearing you out this morning? Well, you know, listen to me. If you're going to run your race effectively, you've got to lay aside that weight. If you're going to run your race at all, you've got to lay aside them besetting sins. What is it this morning? You dwelling on the past? Can I just say, in all due respect, let's go ahead and leave it to God, and let's get over it, amen? Let's go. Let's run. Because listen to me, there's others that need you to run and run well. You worried about now? You worried about, you know, concerned about, you know, your bill? Whatever the case may be, let me ask you a question. Let's bring it to God. Talk to him about it. So that you can run your race and run it well. You worried, you just worried about what's going to happen. You know what? What's going to happen, it's in God's hands. But maybe you're worried about the future. Yesterday, today, tomorrow. Maybe you're not running your race effectively because you got all of them and it's become excess baggage and you're about worn out. And you're maybe right on that verge of just, you know, you're so close that you're just about one little bit of wind to just tip you over and say, I'm done! Thank God when Jesus was carrying that cross up Calvary, he didn't say, God, I'm done. He could have gone ahead and destroyed the world. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world, set him free, but died on the cross for you and me. You know, thank God he didn't. You know, Paul, as he was charging young Timothy, You know what? He was teaching him and so forth. And Paul was at the end of his life. And, you know, his famous words, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You know what? Let me ask you a question. Could that be a test? Could that be your testimony to the younger generation? It won't be if you allow all the weights and maybe besetting sins of this world and it's dragging you down and you're wearing out. And that will not be your testimony to someone that's coming up behind you saying, I finished my course. I kept the faith. Now, Paul knew that if he was going to run and run well, Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to the things which are before. He was looking at life anew. He was saved. He just got saved. He was looking at life anew and he says, you know, I'm reaching forth. God's got something bigger. God's got something better. I don't know why this trial, jail, you know, to Paul, I don't know, you know, when he wrote that, he was sitting in a jail cell. I don't know why this jail. I don't know why this, but I know the one who knows. I'm just going to keep reaching forth. And then he goes ahead and writes, I press towards a mark for the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. He kept pressing towards a mark. Even when it looked hopeless to him there, even when, you know, sitting there in the jail cell, penning these words, you know, he says, forgetting the things which are before. You know, I could sit here in jail and look back and say, wow, you know, and start really getting discouraged about how bad I've been. But you know what? I got to forget about that. I'm in jail. I'm going to keep reaching forth. I don't know what God has for me, but I'm going to keep reaching forth. I'm going to keep on pressing towards the mark. And he did that by keeping Jesus his focal point, the author and finisher of our faith. Paul finished well. Jesus, he finished his course. He was called to go ahead and die upon a cross 33 years from Bethlehem. He finished his course. On and on, we could read about men and women that went ahead and finished their course. You know what? We need God's people today. So I'll keep running. I'll keep running. I'll keep doing around. I'm going to keep soul winning because it's right. I'm going to keep churching. I'm going to keep on reading my Bible. I'm going to keep serving. I'm going to keep on raising my kids for the Lord. I'm going to keep on being a good husband. I'm going to keep on being a good wife. Whatever the case may be, we need just good Christians that say, I could be in the deepest valley, but I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know who I believe. I know who I trust. I'm going to trust in the Lord. Valley, mountaintop, and I'm going to keep on running. Maybe here today you say, preacher, I can't even run this race that God has called me because I'm not even in it because I'm not saved. Maybe here today you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. This would be a great day. You know, let me just stop and say this. The race can be hard, but you know, it's a lot of fun. I love running the race for the Lord. It's exciting as you run your race and you see the people that you get to be a part of reaching and the children you get to be a part of reaching and the souls that you get to see. You know, it's joyous. Let me just stop and say this. If you're here today and you're not in the race because you're not saved, this would be a great day to go ahead and get saved. Come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that, if that is you, boy, you ought to come forward in just a moment, shake my hand, say, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved, but I want to know. And we'll have someone show you from the King James Bible, the Word of God, how you can be saved. Our Heavenly Father, God, we love you. Thank you for today. I thank you for your word. Very simple, practical part of the word of God right there. We have a race to run. Every single one of us, doesn't matter who we are in this room, we have a race that you've called us to run. I pray that we would run it effectively. We will not run it effectively if we got a bunch of weight. Things that aren't necessarily bad, but things that's hindering us from running well. Maybe there's some Christians that's got some besetting sins, and they're not running at all simply because they're not willing to give up that sin that's soon going to go ahead and overtake their life. And I pray, God, that you would be with those Christians today. I pray they would desire to run your race and run the race you called them to do and run it well. Take the examples that we've learned about Jesus. He finished. He says it is finished on the cross. Paul, he finished, and he finished well. I pray, dear God,